Hey, this is Ryan.
Hey, and this is Wayne.
Kill the Rabbit Podcast. We're being more consistent, which is great. I'm trying to learn how to... Well, I'm trying to do better with, like, restricting time for things. Because what will happen is, like, I'll get on the phone with someone, and then it'll be 3 hours later. It's because I never call them. And it's like, geez. So that leaves an impression, just like, God, that took forever.
Are we talking about work things, or are we talking about personal stuff?
Just personal thing, because I don't like talking on the phone. I'd rather text, like, because I can multitask and do other things. Because everyone thinks that, I don't know, that sounds really bad. But you know how sometimes people call you and they're telling you something, and you're just like, okay, you're totally doing something else while I'm listening to this.
Yeah, so now I know when I call you or I text you that you're...
No, I mean, with this, I'm saying, you know those people. I'm not saying it's everybody, but there's times when it's like I'll have people that are a little bit more old school, and it's not restricted to age. I have other people that they only want to talk on the phone. It's like, dude, okay. But you don't need to call and tell me what you're telling me. Just text me or email me. Because I think the more in the zone you get, or if you want to call it more successful, or like the more successful I become, the better I am at managing my time. And the more I realize that you have to be very vigilant and aggressive with your time, because people will just take it. Because you can't, most people, you know, there's no agenda, just like whatever. It's like, okay, I don't have time for that. That's not how I run my life. So I've been working on that because I'm an extremist. So there's times when I time box it too much, and then other times where I'm like, let it go free, which is something I'm working on this week with work, because while I'm working, you know, I can be reading on other technologies to try to become a better employee and stuff like that. So I've noticed that, you know, when not with work, but like with other tasks, right? Let's say it's a Saturday and I'm trying to get a certain number of tasks done that I have allocated that I want to get to, like MIT, robotics, yada, yada. What I'll notice is, well, I need a slight distraction while I do this. So I'll watch TV while I'm doing it. Coming to realize that what will happen is eventually I'll just be watching TV. Right, because TV is always more entertaining than, as soon as you hit a problem, something you don't understand, you're not paying attention. So my new rule now is, just like a little kid, no TV until the tasks are done. You can get creative, you can do them all piecemeal, you can be like, oh, I only want to do the ones I want to do first, I don't care, but those happen first. So it's been very interesting how you, when you restrict yourself like that, that things get done and you start thinking more about your time, because subconsciously you're trying to preserve TV time. But the net effect of what happens is you get your stuff done and then you're satisfied with watching your hour of TV versus your 6 hours of TV that happened while you were doing something else, which is completely worthless. So like in the morning when I do stuff, when I'm doing projects, I'm talking like 5 a.m. I don't do TV anymore. I used to do it because I'd be like, I'll watch TV while I'm tinkering with this new technology. No, I've realized that that's enough of a distraction where my brain's not fully engaged and nothing happens. You go through the week and none of my stuff happens. So now I just play music and things have been progressing really well. But now I'm getting better at, and tell me what you think about this. Like, sometimes it comes off to people like, well, you think your time's so much more valuable than mine. And my argument is like, your time is valuable too. I mean, I just choose to cherish it and maximize what I'm doing with it, as opposed to just, I can't do things open-ended. Otherwise, it'll go on so long, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth, and then I won't do that activity in the future for a very long time, because I will think it capitalizes on my time. Just like when I thought I have too many tasks to do during the day. That's not true. You're like on a weekend, you're trying to do tasks and watch TV at the same time. You're ultimately, I got caught up in an HBO series on Jihad Johnny, the guy that was cutting everyone's head off, and they were tracking him down. And I was like, oh, it's so fascinating. It's like, of course it's fascinating. It's TV. Like, that's their main goal. They don't make crap.
Right.
Like, it's
right.
all going to be amazing. And especially with streaming services, I could watch TV every day, all day long, forever, and never run out of things to watch. So it's just, that's been my thing I've been working on this week. And a lot of my issues, I feel like I started the complicated part and I drill down to like the basic part of like, this is just common sense of like first things first. But my brain is fine. It's always like we've talked about with my diet stuff. People will be like, in moderation. I'm like, no, I can't do that. But you saw, we went to the church thing. I love cookies, Cheetos. None of those were on my diet. But my brain said, I'm at an event. Well, conveniently, I'm at an event Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it's like, if you want to party and have drinks, you pick. You want to have drinks? You want to have dinner? You want to have cake? Not everything you can have. Because it's like, especially on the weekend when I'm not working out, my caloric intake needs to go way down because I'm not active. And that's where I'll gain weight. So I'll lose 5 pounds in the week. I'll gain 8 pounds on the weekend. It just goes this vicious cycle. So like I had to get to the point with myself, but that's how my brain works. It finds an excuse. Oh, well, this is a one-time thing. Oh, well, this is, you never were able to eat at this restaurant before. None of that matters, right? And so for myself, I have to say, I can only do this. I can only give you 10 minutes. I can, so do you feel like people are rude? I'm sure you do the same thing, but like, do people have,
here's the thing to think of. Here's something to think about. First of all, my this voice in your head, you need to find out who it is in the room that's doing all the talking and slap them down. Because, you know, if you're going to have certain goals and there's always going to be, you know, holes where you can weasel out of it, then they're worthless. So you really do have to find a way to, you know, you need to find a way to reward yourself for things and give yourself some slack. The only problem is that it's, you know, it's one thing to say, I'm going to reward myself tonight. I'm going to have a cookie after dinner, you know, as opposed to I'm going to reward myself after dinner. I think I'm going to eat that whole half gallon of Bluebell ice cream, you know. You need to draw some lines, some boundaries as far as what you're going to allow yourself to experience when it comes to rewards. And I think the way to do that might be figuring out, you know, like if, whether it's understanding what the caloric intake is for certain foods or certain quantities of foods or whatever it is, where it's easier to draw that line and just say, I can do this. But this is as far as I can go. I mean, I remember somebody said one time, you know, food portions at a meal can be a killer for a lot of people. First of all, because a lot of people don't eat because they're hungry. They just eat because they like to eat. And if there's a particular type of food that they like to eat, then they just eat it until they're feeling uncomfortable. Well, what did you just do? You know?
Or sometimes it just means that you're thirsty. Like, part of my weight loss thing is I'll eat enough during the day, and I typically go to sleep, and I'm a little hungry. And I've noticed that at least you know you're there, instead of I go to sleep before I would eat late at night, and I'd be really full. And then over the nighttime, you're not. It's just basic math. I'm not working out on the weekend, so you need to reduce your intake by, like, 25%. Because you're not burning that 1,000 calories a day that you do at the gym and on cardio. So, right. Like, figuring those things out, and also, like, context switching, I would pride myself in being able to multitask everything. But then I'm realizing that it takes away from everything. So you're watching TV, which doesn't have any lasting effect or benefit for you, when you could just don't do 10 things at once, just do the one thing, and then play Nintendo. And do the next thing. And so that's why with my thing, as stupid as it sounds, to say, like, don't watch TV until you're done with your things, it's a great motivator. I mean, I want to watch TV. I don't know why. It's something that I prided myself before in being able to watch TV and do work at the same time, work on my own things. But I'm realizing, like, yeah, but it's not really quality. And so just you do that, and then it's done. And then, and that's on when I was learning Rust, is a new programming language.
Mm-hmm.
So I read 10 chapters. I like the language. It protects you from, like, screwing yourself. The compiler is really, it's very specific with what it tells you. It could be a potential issue down the road, so you don't have to deal with it. That's great, right? But, like,
yeah.
I was like, okay, think of a thing that you could use this with side projects, stuff like that. There isn't really anything, and you prefer Python over Rust.
Mm.
So after 10 chapters, I was like, let's reevaluate it, right? Yeah, I don't care about this, so throw it out. So now it's no longer on my task list. Like, I was taking on all these tasks, but it's like, is it really, like, Blender is there to model things for the video games that I'm designing in Unreal. That makes sense. Your virtual reality stuff makes sense because you're doing video game stuff. That makes sense. Like, learn a new language, but, you know, it has to be for a purpose. So it was a nice experience to, like, throw that out. And the freeing, like, you're just wasting time, right? You're just reading a bunch of stuff that you're never going to use it for anything. And if you do, then pick it up and read it. Like, I read this whole book on Vue.js, which is a new, like, progressive JavaScript framework. Well, I'm a backend engineer, so that's not my specialty. That's front end. That's a whole other discipline. But the cool thing is, as I tinker with stuff, reading that book and going through focused and looking at the right way to do things, I saw application for it. So it made sense. And things that I thought of, like getters and things called mutations. And you think of them differently because you went through the steps of how you're actually applying it. So I've stopped learning things that, like, I finished blockchain. So I was like, I've read everything there is to read basically about blockchain. I'll think about if I can use it later, but it's done. So move to machine learning. So that's what I'm learning now, to be more aggressive with how I'm spending my time.
Yeah. Well, a couple of thoughts. One of them goes back to this thing with people and texting versus phone calls. One of the things, and this is something I have to be careful of, and I was listening to a Tony Evans thing today on God's call on us to love him first, but then there's a second command similar to the first, and that is to love others. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? What does that mean to love others? Well, first, one of the things that thought that comes to mind, it takes you out of that controlled environment that you control things. Because when you're talking about other people, you're looking at other people's needs, other people's perspectives. And then if you take it a step beyond your friends and the people you prefer to be with, and you think about the people that God has called us to love, he even calls us to love our enemies. And that's not somebody you would choose to show love towards, but there's not an option there. But that definitely is out way beyond the control that you have over your time, because a lot of times people who, you know, you're reaching out to, whether it's giving money to somebody or giving your time to something like what we did when we were looking at that mentoring program that we saw on Tuesday night. Part of the reason you're out of your comfort zone with all that is maybe it's because you've never been in that environment before. But another part of it is the demands on your time are uncomfortable. You're not controlling it. You're talking to somebody that you wouldn't necessarily choose to talk to because you may not have much in common. You find that you have to do a whole lot more listening than actual talking. That makes maybe it uncomfortable, and you might even be tempted at that point to think, hey, this is a major waste of my time. But of course it's not. It's not. But it really takes, and I'm sharing this with you because this is kind of a challenge for me right now, is because I've got some people in my life that I would not choose necessarily to, you know, seek them out and want to have a discussion with them. But they enjoy talking to me, and I'm able to give input into their life that they're encouraged by. Okay. Yeah. I don't do a whole lot of controlling of the environment when we're communicating, because they're doing a lot of the talking, and some of the things aren't necessarily something I have an interest in. But then you kind of have to look at it from a different perspective. I'm showing an interest in the person, not necessarily what they like, what they choose to do with their time, but I'm showing an interest in just, you know, being kind to that person. And communicating with them in a way that isn't, I'm relinquishing control, you know, like you're saying about these people that are old school and don't want to, you know, do the texting thing.
My favorite is when they call and leave a message and be like, "Hey, it's me." It's like, dude, I have caller ID. I know it's you. You don't need to leave a message. You waste my time checking a dumb message.
Yeah. I know. Your mother used to say, "Well, call them again." I said, "Well, they've already got a missed call on there." So, I mean,
yeah.
What is one more going to do? But see, that's old school thinking, and I understand that, and she knows that too. But I think sometimes you have to just sit back and reevaluate the way you look at certain things. Now, you can take your work and your projects and your goals, and you can do a fairly decent job of quantifying what you're trying to accomplish and how to manage your time in order to get where you want to go. And like you say, maybe do an assessment of a particular software program and up to the point where you realize this isn't anything that is going to take you where you want to go. So you chunk it. And that's, you know.
Which I need to get better at that. I should have chunked it at chapter 5. You're pursuing something for the sake of pursuing something, right, instead of like, what's its purpose? And I always heard that before when I was younger, and I was like, gosh, that's so, what about the love of learning? There's plenty of things to learn.
That's true. And I guess at the end of it all, I would say, I think we need to evaluate how much of our life that we need to be able to control, and then also realize we're going to leave ourselves open. We're going to take a risk and allow ourselves to be vulnerable and open to things that we don't control, whether it's people that God brings across our path where we can have a conversation, a word of encouragement, maybe we can meet a need. And that's all a part of what we're called to do in this life. And then there's this other side to us in which we contemplate whether we should watch this program or we should on TV, or it's a waste of time and we should really focus on doing the work that we're doing. Maybe we'll get it done faster. And quite frankly, you know, going back to the TV thing, there are times when I will have something on TV, like something I've seen before, so I don't need to look up every time to look at it. You know, maybe it's an old Western or something like that. And I can do that when I'm doing certain types of work.
Like if it's mundane, I can totally do that.
Right.
Monotonous.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the things that I really enjoy watching on TV sometimes really demand my attention in order to follow all the cues and everything else, because it's a murder mystery or some kind of a thriller that it really engages your mind, but you've got to give it more than just half of your brain when you're watching it. But I hear what you're saying. I just would throw up a caution that there's a good share of life that we can possibly miss the blessings of if we insist on controlling everything. And I'm not saying you're trying to control everything, because you already know that there's some things you don't control. But I think sometimes we really drive to do that. We really push ourselves to try to control everything that's coming at us so that we can be, quote, productive.
I think it's, for me, it's swung out of, because I'm an extremist, I think the pendulum is swinging the other way. I think for so long, I've spent so much time in worthless relationships with people that you didn't evaluate it. right? It's really a benefit for your life. And so now I feel like being more aggressive with my time with myself more than really with other people. Cause I get that part. That's a bad habit of mine. But cause I mean, typically I don't like people, but I get along with them. Like I love social things, but I don't like a lot of people it's weird. But what I mean to say is being more aggressive with my time with myself, because I know my natural inclination is to screw off and not do anything, not do what I'm supposed to. And then I have this hyper pressure of, oh, I didn't get anything done. There's not enough time. There's plenty of time. You just waste it. Right. And then I think it gives me that quality time to spend with a person instead of like, I gotta go, I have to do this. But I've done that for so long, and I've had so many relationships in my life that were just they're pointless, that now I'm really getting into trimming the fat, and sometimes you trim more.
Yeah. Than the fat. Yeah. And for me, I don't tend to be a touchy-feely type of person necessarily. I can be very emotional, but I'm not really I'm not one to hug or kiss or things like that necessarily. Naturally, it's something I don't necessarily think about, which it's neither good nor bad. It just depends on who you're with. Because some people do need that and need it more than you do. So being aware of that, being aware that you're with somebody who really needs a hug more than just once every year, somebody who needs a verbal and not a text message to show concern and care, even though the words that they're sharing with you could as easily have been done over a text. That's not the point. So that, you know, those are things that it was interesting. One of those things that Tony Evans brought out in the thing I was listening to was that, you know, God has placed us as humans in environments in which we don't have everything we need. We gain a lot of what we need from our association with other people, because they have something that they give to our lives, as well as what we're able to give to them. You know, he brought up the whole point of, you know, I'm sure a lot of you people that come in to church today are thinking about something that you want God to do for you, and you're probably praying about that. And then there's probably a lot of you who aren't thinking of praying for something for somebody else, because you're really kind of thinking about me. I'm really thinking about me and that pay raise and that relationship issue and a new car and getting rid of this illness that I've got. I'm really focused on me. And that's not that that's bad. It's just that it's very one-sided. And there's got to be a balance in life in which you make yourself open. You maybe take a risk and engage in situations or with people that you don't tend to do, because frankly, most of us as human beings are into our comfort, and we really don't want to break out of that comfort zone. We don't really want to reach out to somebody we don't understand or don't know, or we're going to have to sacrifice something really important on our side in order to meet the need of this other person. We don't tend to do that normally. We have to push ourselves.
It's harder for people like us that are, I'm the same. I don't do PDA, but you know, my wife loves languages, touch.
Yep.
Has presented a lot of interesting situations, because that's not my love language. My love language is affirmation and gifts and affirmation. So like for her, it's touch, touch, touch. That's it. The end. And so we've had a lot of issues with just me not, or her not, you just learn to communicate with each other in each other's love language, which is, it's very hard, because it's not something that you feel when you're in it. But as far as initiating, it's harder. So like for me and you, I think were very, I mean, I'm very good socially. I think that was, a lot of that was learned because I was homeschooled. So I observed like social constructs and how to behave and who to get in with. And the point was like how to become popular without, you know, by associating with the popular people, because I felt like that was where you needed to be. So like, but for me, I'm not a social person. Like I can stay in my house. I'm in my house all week. I don't really come in contact with people for a week. And for me, that's fine, right? It could go on for months. And there's times when I'm like, okay, I really need to see someone, but that's just how I'm wired. So I'm not naturally a social person. I'm naturally a loner. And so when you meet people that naturally they need other people, you know, it's just very interesting because you don't. So it's just for them, it's like, oh, I need to talk to you. And it's like, okay, what is it? And it's like, oh, I just need to tell you this thing. It's like, that was like pointless for you to tell me. It didn't really matter. Like, oh, I don't understand why that was such an emergency. So like building that empathy to understanding that it's not the thing they were trying to tell you. They're just reaching out for a connection.
Yeah,
it's just a really interesting thing.
I think a good thing for all of us is stretching exercises. And I'm not talking about physical exercise. I'm thinking about things like, I remember, you remember Vince from when I was in seminary? He was in a leadership training class, okay? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they did, you had to do it, is they had certain exercises that they would do that were stretching things. Like one of them was bungee jumping.
Oh, well,
if you remember Vince, that's, you know, there's no way that on his own he would jump off a bridge on with the bungee cord and, you know, hope that it, you know, kept him from, you know, smashing his head against the rocks on the bottom. I, you know, just wouldn't do that on a normal thing. But here's the point. The point was that they were trying to get people to say, okay, let's on a regular basis have one of those kind of stretching exercises where we challenge ourselves to do something that will take us totally outside of our comfort zone. It doesn't have to be unsafe, but it definitely has to be outside of our comfort zone. And one of the things that happens, this is really wild, and you'll experience this in triplicates when you do something like go to a country you've never been to, and you're immersed in this culture where they speak a language you're not familiar with, you're seeing things that you've never seen before, and it's like you're on another planet, and all of a sudden all of your nerve endings are, you know, it's going straight out, and you're just kind of like whoa, you know, it's like overload type of thing, totally outside of your comfort zone. That's an extreme example of it, but it kind of gives you an idea of the benefit possibilities of maybe a lesser kind of a stretching exercise where you're just, you know, well, like that thing on Tuesday night, we went to a community where they're telling us that 90% of the male figures are absent from the home. So you got a bunch of these young guys that don't have any fathers and they would love to have a mentor. Well, those kids are in environments that you're not familiar with at all. And if you were to take one of those young men under your wing and get together with them, it would be uncomfortable. What do you talk about? What do you do? But it's like they were trying to say, you just have to be willing essentially to be naked. You know, go in there, be willing to just listen to somebody, show care, concern, be a part of their life, and voila, you would be amazed at what will happen from just that. But from the get-go, you just subjected yourself to a very uncomfortable environment. Because you're not used to it. It's not something you would choose to do on your own. But it could stretch you in ways that you would really be blessed by too, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know, just being, you know, going back to this thing with texting versus calls I think we're, Ryan, I'm like you in that I really like to be able to control what's around me. And I found myself in many situations getting uncomfortable when I didn't have control. But is that so bad not to have control? Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that the risk you have to take in order to learn something new? Is that you step into a world that you're not familiar with, a situation that you really don't know immediately what to do? And that's okay. I mean, you learned that to a certain extent by learning to ask questions. You were not intimidated by people knowing more than you, and you were willing to just, you know, lay it out there and say, hey, guys, I have no idea what I'm doing here. I need some help. And that's an incredible attitude to have, a good attitude to have in a new environment, because you don't know. You're just being honest. And it's helpful for other people that might want to help you, because how do they know that you don't know what you're doing unless you admit it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good to take a risk. And like I said, I think, and we might want to do that with each other, is just to come up with some way to regularly stretch, you know, encourage each other to take a stretch into something a little different. You know, I know what I'm comfortable with, but in order to keep me from getting too comfortable, I need something that really challenges me. You know, something to think about.
So, no, I think so.
I mean, even with my writing, for instance. First of all, going back a little bit further, when we were discussing that voice in your head that was, you know, telling you something and you just need to slap it down. Some of the voices in my head that were telling me things that I don't want to go there. I don't want to allow those voices to control whether I continue doing the writing or, but I did need to come to grips with the fact that there's some things I don't know, and I have to be willing to be vulnerable in order to find out where to find those answers. And then, and then to step out. And it's not been easy. I mean,
not at all.
No, but if you don't, where are you going to be a year from now? Same place you were a year ago. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just such a process of, I've stopped beating myself up for things that seem intuitive. Because sometimes you don't know something until it's time for you to know it, you know?
Yeah. So one of the things I would encourage you to think about, and because, like, for instance, you have family, you know, and I'm talking about your sisters, and of course you have me and mom, and now you have your wife. Just encourage you to think about ways you can step outside that comfort zone with each of them and meet them where they're at. It's easier for me with you and your sisters because of my age, because of who I am as your father. For me, it's a little more difficult with your mom because it's easy to get comfortable with the way I relate to her, even though it may not be meeting her needs. And so I've had to really work at stepping outside of what I think is comfortable and just loving her in a way that speaks love to her. And that's been challenging for me. So anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely good stuff. Try to.
Yeah.
How is the writing going good?
This week I've got the trifold display board, because I'm going to be doing the storyboarding with the writing. I'm excited about starting that. I just haven't had a minute to myself this week, honestly, in order to get into it, because a lot's been going on. But this weekend I'm going to set aside some time to start doing the sticky notes, and because I've got a lot of things I can write on the sticky notes, I just have to figure out how I'm going to compose it. Once I get it, I'll take a picture of it and send it to you so you can see what it looks like. And so I'm excited about it. I think as I've continued to write, I've just been amazed at how good it's been to just physically write rather than to work on the computer. But like I said, also this week, when I decided to do the storyboarding, it all came about because I'm sitting there reading 5-6 pages or more of stuff that I've written, and if you're only working on it, you know, once a night, you find yourself having to go back and read the whole thing again, and you're thinking, I don't want to do that. There's got to be a better way to do this, and that's where the storyboarding came in. So I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be really good.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
So how are you doing with your project? Are you...
It's going well. I mean, things are progressing, and actually doing stuff, it actually helps. Doing it consistently enough where you don't open it up and be like, what was I doing? Like, that's...
Right.
Definite right. benefit for me.
Yeah.
That's typically been the name of the game.
Have you been able to get to a point, are you at a point now where you can set any kind of date, not a specific hard date, like a day, but, you know, fall, winter, December, January, where you feel like there's going to be something that you can, I don't know, put out there, or a major step on the timeline?
Things are in existence as far as like being able to physically see something that does exist as it is right now. A lot of this stuff is progressing. I think in a few months you'll be able to see more.
Okay.
It's
I would love to be able to do that.
Really, it's going faster now that, so the main infrastructure is the problem. Mm-hmm. It's been the problem, but now that a lot of that is coming and falling into place, and all the due diligence you need to do to research out, you know, what's the best thing I should be doing or using. So now that that's been handled, then a few months, I think it'll be.
Well, fine. I'm kind of anxious to be able to put some kind of a date down. Not, again, it's a goal, it's not a hard fast, but it's something that if you're really working hard towards that, it kind of gives you some momentum.
Yeah. Well, I know that now it's easier for me to break things down and be like, okay, I've been able to break things down into a small enough fashion where I know, like, I can get these 4 or 5 things done in the day. And right. Whereas before it was like complete law, like the way that things happen with like software projects is that in the beginning, you're lost in the forest and you have no idea what's going on. And then as you start to build things and you build out the foundation and you rebuild the foundation and then you determine how things work, or like I needed to add some various different widgets to do whatever. And it was easier to do that, and I did it in like 10 minutes. Whereas before it would have taken me, but this is all building on foundational knowledge and understanding that you've acquired through reading about like the Vue.js framework, right? So once I've done a lot of stuff with that framework, doing things in it is very easy. And how things, so you have another library called React, which a lot of people swear by. For me, I don't like it. So React's claim to fame is that you can set a value on something and then you like set a text box to say something, and then if you change the variable of that thing that's populating that text box somewhere else in the code base, it will reactively refresh that component. Whereas in old JavaScript world, you need to set it specifically, and if you miss it and when you change something in the code, then you need to go and have it refresh and change that component. Whereas Vue.js is what they call a progressive JavaScript framework. It implements what's called a virtual DOM, which would, I think it assists in this reactivity type situation. So I just point it at something, change it somewhere else, and these two places can't even talk to each other. But because they have this one common piece that's reactive, I've changed it over here, and it comes up on the other side. So I don't have to manage that. So like in doing that, you have a lot of confidence in doing it the right way and that it's being handled by the framework instead of yourself, because yourself is not a good, like we in programming world, they call it rolling your own. So if you roll your own a lot, which means you're like, I don't want to use Microsoft Word, I'm going to write my own word processor. Then you understand why it took years and years to write Word. It's not easy. Yeah. And then you run into all these problems. So that being said, all the framework has been set. All the frameworks and code bases have been picked. So things are progressing exponentially faster than they were 2 months ago.
Oh, okay. Hey, listen, I guess we need to call quits here. So. And after we're through, I'll have some things to talk to you about. But it's been good. It's been
good. This next week will be good. Things are moving, which is good.
Good, good. I'm feeling the same. And I should have something to show you this next week. So.
Oh, nice. I can show you what you worked on. You can. It's not just code. You can actually see it and see it working. Right. Yeah, right. I can show it to you. Okay.
Well, next week, buddy. All righty, buddy.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.